Greetings to our radio listeners. It's a grand thing to be alive these days, and it's still grander to know that we're heaven-bound. That is by no means true of all, but it is true of all who have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Someone may say, we can't know until we get there. I'm sorry, you're wrong. We can know here and now, and that knowledge makes life worth living. It's wonderful to be able to say upon the authority of God's Word, death and judgment are behind me. Grace and glory are before. We ask you to listen carefully and prayerfully as we seek to proclaim the old, old story of Jesus and His love. Listen to the three-part chorus as they sing, Oh, What Love! For the sake of time, I shall ask you to read at your leisure the 7th chapter of Joshua, where we have the unpleasant story of a man by the name of Achan. His name means a troublemaker, and one thing can be said about Achan, he lived up to the meaning of his name. At this time, the 10 tribes of the nation of Israel had crossed Jordan to inherit the land which the Lord had promised to them. They were instructed to drive out the idolatrous nations and to possess the good land of Canaan. The first task was to capture the big city of Jericho with its heathen population. In chapter 6 of Joshua, we have the history of the fall of Jericho and the simple means that God instructed them to employ. It was a great victory, and the Israelites were overjoyed. However, one man disobeyed God's instructions, for God had forbidden them to take any of the spoils of Jericho. For it was a curse. The silver and the gold were to be put into the treasure of the Lord. Achan, the key figure in our story, kept a goodly Babylonian garment for himself, and he took some silver and gold as well. He knew he was doing wrong, for he buried these stolen goods in the earth in the midst of his tent. His sin would hardly be considered as a great offense, as men would judge, but it led to terrible consequences. There was another city, Ai, a little farther up the mountain pass, which stood in the way of Israel's progress into the interior of the land which God had given to them. Joshua, their commander-in-chief, sent spies to view the city and bring back a report. It seemed to be a small city, and the spies reported that it was not necessary for the whole army to attack the city. They suggested that about 2,000 or 3,000 would be sufficient. Accordingly, Joshua sent about 3,000 men to capture the little city. But very sad news reached Joshua. His army was put to flight and defeated, and some 36 men were killed in the unsuccessful attempt to take the city of Ai. When Joshua heard what had befallen his army, he was greatly dismayed. He fell upon his face before the ark of the Lord and cried unto the Lord for the safety of the people, for he feared that the Amorites would destroy them. Then the Lord spake unto Joshua and said, Israel hath sinned. They have taken of the accursed thing, and this was the cause of their defeat. The Lord instructed Joshua to cause all the tribes of Israel to pass before him. God would point out the guilty tribe. Then all the families of that tribe would pass before him, and God would point out the guilty family. Then all the households of that family would pass before him, and God would point out the guilty household. And lastly, all the men of that household would pass before him, and God would point out the guilty man. It was a very solemn time, especially for that guilty man, Achan. His payday had arrived. His sin was exposed, and all he could do was bow his head and confess that he was found out. How foolish Achan was in thinking nobody saw him when the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. How foolish he was in thinking that he could cover or bury his stolen goods from the all-seeing eyes of his Creator. Achan thought he had his sin covered, but the Scriptures declare that he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He had to deal with God, a holy God, who punishes sin. It's true that Achan confessed his sin after he was found out, but it was too late to be saved then, and all Israel stoned Achan in the valley of Achor, a rather shameful death, proving again that the wages of sin is always death. The Bible teaches that all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners by nature, and we are sinners by practice or by deliberate choice. And the Bible presents to us two ways of facing our condition before God. We may choose to cover our sins, or at least attempt it, and thus go on from day to day, hoping that they will never be discovered. Or we may confess our lost condition before God and receive the pardon for all of our transgressions. We have the choice of letting the sin question unsettled and allow things to take any course which will eventually lead to our utter condemnation. That's the choice that Achan made. But thank God, we have another and a far better choice, and that is to seek the Lord while he may be found, to call upon him while he is extending his great salvation. The Bible emphatically teaches that those who remain unsaved must face all of their sins at the judgment of the great white throne. It will be a very solemn day when all your sins will be displayed. Little wonder that men will cry for the rocks and the mountains to hide them. But I am very happy to proclaim this glorious truth that those who have trusted Christ for salvation will never have to face their sins again. For in being saved, they must confess their lost and guilty condition. It's far better to confess your guilt and to close in with the Savior than it is to face them at the great white throne when it's too late to be forgiven. The story of the stoning of Achan is left on record in our Bible as a permanent reminder that God always gets his man. You may have heard the expression that the law always gets his man, but that is hardly true. Let's say the law nearly always gets his man. But we need not hesitate to say that without any exception, God always gets his man. You can't bury things deep enough to hide them from God. As you read the story of Achan and his shameful end in Joshua 7, you who are still unsaved may say at the end of the chapter, And one of these days, my sins will be found out, and I will be condemned, as was Achan. The purpose of this broadcast is to persuade you to make the better choice. It's not necessary that you should be condemned. The only people whom God will condemn are those who will not receive His only begotten Son as their Lord and Savior. Regarding the sin question, the born-again Christian delights in such promises as Isaiah 44:22, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." Psalm 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us." It may be that some of you will never be serious about these eternal issues until it is too late. I must warn you, and being warned adds to your guilt, if you still refuse to trust the Savior for salvation. He paid a tremendous price to redeem you, and the least you can do is to come to Him in all your need and sin and confess that you can't save yourself. He died for your sins. He satisfied the claims of righteousness, and Christ's atoning death and resurrection is your one and only way out. You must be saved, or you must be condemned. God leaves the choice with you. Will you follow Achan's trail and end up in a Christless eternity? Or will you this moment heed the pleading of a loving Savior who stands ready to receive you the moment you will trust Him as your Lord and Savior? I leave the choice with you. God is waiting for your answer.